applied to 55 schools, but a 44-year-old resident was not something anybody wanted. Didn't get accepted to any of them. There's only 300 spots in the whole United States every year for orthodontic residents. That's it, 300. And 50% of the people who apply go home unhappy.
Hey, I am joined by a friend and a fellow in the industry, Dr. Glenn Krieger. How are you?
I am thrilled to be here. I'm doing great. Every time I see you, I feel even better than I did before I got to see you.
Well, you know, it's funny. I feel like we're as close as we can friends, but we don't hang out, but we got to fix that. We're going to have to get our wives together and our families together because it's a lot of fun. But, you know, the last time we were together, you hinted on a story about how you ended up, really how you ended up starting Orthopreneurs. I want to say really by accident, if that's a fair word. But
yeah,
I think go back and tell me a little bit about, because you mentioned the conversation you had with your wife about you wanted to go back to ortho school. Give a little brief recap of that, because I think that's a fascinating story.
Okay. I hope the viewers have like 3 hours.
we're gonna limit this to 3 hours, FYI. No.
Okay, because you went back, you're taking me back. So I was a restorative dentist in Seattle, Washington, practicing for about 20 years. Really had a great practice, loved my team, loved my patients, loved my craft. I had a goal. I wanted to be the finest restorative dentist in the world, which sounds like a lofty, egotistical goal. But it manifested itself in me really taking every course I'd get my hands on, traveling around the world to sit at the shoulders of masters. And I really felt like I was coming along to where I wanted to be. And then, you know, if anybody's from Seattle or isn't from Seattle but lived there for a while, you can recognize the early winter nights, the rain for months on end. It really does take a toll on a lot of people. And for my wife, it was just something she could not get used to, especially with small kids at home who couldn't go outside and play. You know, it got dark. It didn't get light until 8 a.m. It didn't get dark. It got dark by 4:30. And one day she just said to me, "I've done everything I can. I got to get out of here." Her family was 6-hour flight East Coast. 3-hour time difference, so it was very isolating. And I said, absolutely. You know, my profession didn't matter at all if my wife was suffering. And so immediately said, sure, sell the practice. It is what it is. And I literally, I had a buyer for my practice in one day, literally wow. One day. I built it with lots of systems, and it was almost turnkey in some respects. Well, long story short, 2 weeks later, I woke up in the middle of the night and I just said to her, "Hey, hun, if we got to get started all over again, if we're going to start from scratch at age 44, can I go back to school and become an orthodontist? It's something I've always wanted to do." And she just asked me, "Can we afford it?" I said, "No." We didn't plan for it, but the way our relationship is, she had faith in me and said, "Sure, go for it." And applied to 55 schools, but a 44-year-old resident was not something anybody wanted. Didn't get accepted to any of them. Remember, there's only 300 spots in the whole United States every year for orthodontic residents. That's it, 300. And 50% of the people who apply go home unhappy. They'll never be orthodontists. That's just the way it is.
50%. I did not know that fact. Wow.
I tell people it's harder to get into orthodontics than it is, say, Harvard Business School. You've got it because of the 600 plus people applying, they better be top 10% of their class, of their dental school class, who are already pretty smart folks. And so I applied, didn't get in. I asked her if I could get one more shot. She said, sure. So I applied one more time, got in. And so I started ortho residency at 44 in 2012. And I was the oldest resident by literally decades. I graduated dental school in 1992. My partner in business, who is now one of my best friends in the world, graduated in 2012.
Wow.
So all the people who are my benchmates in dental school were his faculty when he was in. But again, at the end of the day, I found myself being the oldest person in the school, let alone orthodontic residency. So in all the postgraduate residency programs, orthodontics, endodontics, periodontics, oral surgery, prosthodontics, whatever it was, I was older than many of the faculty because just the way it was. So the residents would come up to me because, you know, the old saying, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king, right? I didn't have all the answers, but I had a couple of decades of serious business under my belt. And so they'd come to me and say, "Hey, Glenn, I got this contract. What should I do with it? Hey, how do I find an attorney? What do I do with an accountant?" Like basic questions that, you know, they just weren't ever exposed to. So I was always helping them. And that was my my sort of social
And
capital was just
you're in
college.
Florida too, right?
Right at that point, we decided to go to Florida. That's where I got in. Was in South Florida for 2.5 years. The residency is a 30-month program. And I had six other co-residents and probably another 30 residents and all the other programs combined. And I would always help anybody who came to me and I'd say, hey, I need some advice. I need some help. Can you guide me in this business thing? What should I be worried about as an associate? And so I helped them all. And when I got out of school, I found that I really enjoyed it. I started a group in Facebook, a free group, no charge, called Orthopreneurs, with the idea that anybody who goes there can help everybody else who's there. You know, if you've got a question, post it and other people can help answer it. And, you know, I'll help collate the answers a little bit and try to guide conversations. And I started that in 2017 in January, and we grew to 7,300 orthodontists in 99 countries. I started a summit because I felt like an annual meeting would be a great thing. And we're getting about 1,000 people with about 100 corporate sponsors. I started a podcast about 5 years ago just because I enjoyed, again, getting information out, just like you do. And it just took on a life of its own. So when you said accidental, I would switch that a little bit and say organic, because I've had so many people come up to me along the way. People, particularly at the summit, where they see 1,000 people sitting in a room with 100 corporate sponsors, this huge stage, I mean, millions and millions of dollars of budget just on the meeting, and go, Glenn, we should do this in blank, the pediatric dentistry, or we should do this in oral surgery, or we should do this. And my first question to them always was, do you get incredible joy connecting people together? Because if the answer is no, don't do it. Because the summit wasn't about making tons of money, because I threw most of it back into the meeting. It was literally about seeing people in the audience watching the lectures and knowing they were going to go back to their practices with an easier life. And that's how it all came about, because that's my, as I said, social capital. Nothing makes me happier more than being a connector. And inadvertently, accidentally, in that respect, all of this came about because I didn't realize I was using my passion, which I didn't even know was my passion until I was about 53, 54 years old. And my partner looked at me and goes, you know, dude, you really love connecting people. I said, you know, I never thought about it that way, but that's who I am and that's how I'm built. And it just all stemmed from that. So
I
sorry for
would
the long story there,
probably,
JW.
no, it's a great story. I mean, it's an amazing story to think that at your age you drifted back into doing a residency. That's just really incredible. But I also would think that, so we're both men of faith, but that definitely is God ordained. So, you know, we didn't know it, but going way back, probably when you were 20 years old, there was already a plan to do exactly what you did as well. But what, you know, you mentioned about turning that into a group. What is it that made your group different? There's a lot of dental groups out there, and you know, a lot of them are just all about the money and all about the different reasons, right? There's good ones, bad ones. I'm not pinpointing any of them, but there's dozens and dozens of them. But yours is quite different, and I'm privy to see some of the things that happen within entrepreneurs. What really made yours different?
I think you go back to the idea of why did you start it? Like, why was the group started? The group was not started with the idea of building a business. The group was started as a place to connect people, and that's all it was. And I think when your intentions are pure, along the path, it hasn't been smooth. There's been rocky times. There are haters in every field. And so there were people out there who wanted to hate on it so much, who maybe not didn't understand who I was or thought I had some ulterior motive. And in orthodontics, there's this ridiculous concept that some people have taken on called let's protect the specialty, as if anything that's not pure orthodontics is a problem. You know, teaching business must be terrible. So along the way, I think my passion came out and honesty. You know, if someone messaged me, I responded with as much compassion and kindness as I could. I think some people start a business and then they hand everything over to a million people below them and they become insulated. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But I think what made this group a little bit different, and I still get it from people say, Glenn, been listening to the podcast, went to a few summits, you know, really appreciate everything you're doing. People, honestly, I think many of them feel what I'm trying to do, which is help them. I think they honestly feel that this is done, whether it's a meeting they have to pay money to go to, or a private mastermind group that we started that they pay for. I think that if you were to ask people in any facet of my life, does Glenn care? The answer would be invariably yes. Because if I didn't care about it, they'd feel it and this wouldn't work and I wouldn't want to do it. And so there'll be a time in my life where maybe something else takes my time and I'll care about that slightly more, perhaps, and then I'll walk away from this. But as long as I'm here and people write, I just got an email. I just tell you right now, I got a message this morning on Facebook from somebody who's at a crossroads in his life. A mature man, ortho problems. He's not sure what to do. I got one yesterday from somebody who's struggling financially with his ortho practice after many years in practice. I mean, this is what I get literally every single day. And I respond to every one of them and try to get a call going or a Zoom to try to help them any way I can. And I think that's what, at the end of the day, even if the group is unsuccessful, but I feel I've made a difference in people's lives, to me, that's the end of it. And I tell my children, and they know this, if at my funeral, hopefully years from now, if people come up to my kids and tell them what a great orthodontist I was, then I failed in my life mission, right? Because orthodontics is what I do for a living. That's not who I am. If people come up to my kids and tell them how I helped them in their life, how I helped them get over through a struggle, how I was a friend at a time when they needed somebody, to me, that's the essence of why I'm doing this. And the day I forget that is the day I'll quit all of this.
Well, it all goes back to purpose. And I think that you definitely have put the purpose behind whatever activity it is you're doing. You know, to me, I believe social media was created for that. Facebook, as an example, I love it because I stay connected with people like you, with friends from high school, with relatives I haven't seen in years that maybe live across the country. So that connection, well, connection is what we all need. That's a definitely a spirit that we all need to be connected. God gave us that, and this just gives us that opportunity to do it. But you're right, it has to be real. It has to be very authentic, because you're right, I can tell how authentic you are. When you're not authentic and real about something, it definitely
Oh,
shows.
yeah.
But Glenn, you've done a bunch of stuff, and that was incredible. I didn't realize you was I knew it was around 7,000 members, but 99 countries, that's pretty impressive as well.
Yeah, who knew there was an orthodontist on Isle of Man? But I've met them. I've met them online. It's
I know
amazing.
where Isle
Like,
of Man is too. I guess
best
any of you
motorcycle
did.
race in the world.
Yeah, big one there. Yeah. So you've done a lot though. You've been a general dentist, you've been an orthodontist, you founded Orthopreneurs back in 2017. You started Remote Response a couple of years ago. And but a really cool one is Embracing Our Warriors, which I know
Thank you.
we've had the ability to donate to, which has been an honor to be able to help with some of that. But tell me just quickly, how did you get into that? Because I don't think you had a military background personally, but yet you're really taking on this Embracing Our Warriors piece. How did that come about?
Yeah, I'll tell everybody out there. First, Embracing Our Warriors is a 501c3 that I created to help at its fundamental level. It helps disabled. Veterans with disabilities who have financial trouble get the smile they need through orthodontics, them and their dependents. It goes back for a couple of reasons. Number one, my dad was in the military. I was born in Fifth Army headquarters in Chicago back in 1967.
My dad was
So
military too. We got another thing in common.
dad was stationed there. And I became one evening separated from being in the Navy because I wanted to serve our country. I didn't know anything from school. I was already a dentist and walked into a recruiting station and said, I want to serve. And they didn't know what to do with me. And it took like 3 months of psych evals to sort of figure out if I was for real or not. And ultimately, I got approved. I got fingerprinted. I went through MEPS, the whole nine yards. And I was going to sign my papers the next morning when my father, in what we call a dubious accident to this day, slipped on some ice and hurt his back and asked me, could I keep running the practices? I said, sure, because my dad was a dentist. And I called my recruiter and he said he couldn't give me a deferment. And that was the end of that. But I've always
Wow.
held military in the highest esteem. And I remember about a year after I started my practice here in Texas at age 47, 40, 48, I had a gentleman come in, and he's not bashful, his name is Darryl. And he was a former helicopter diver for the Navy. And these guys, it's hard. It's like years of wait just to get into the program. And what I had in front of me was a guy who did not embody that. When I'm looking at this guy, he had changed a lot, and he was sad, and he was down on his luck a bit, and he just looked at me and said, all I want to do is be able to smile. And I remember I said to him, doesn't the VA help you with this? He says, no, they don't do anything about orthodontic care like that. And I just looked him in the eye and I said, dude, brother, I got you. I got you covered. We'll figure this out. And I told my assistant to take him back so we could get the records to get him going. And I remember I put my head down on the table and I cried. I literally cried for 10 minutes, like not just like a little. Sort of, I bawled for 10 minutes thinking that somebody who is decorated numerous times, somebody who I'm going to hold this up. We became so close that he gave me this. He gave
Wow.
me his rescue patch and his coin,
Wow.
right? And for those in the military know what a coin is, it's a big deal. I couldn't believe that they could treat our veterans this way, because I remember seeing in the VA in New York City when my dad needed a kidney transplant and I went to get his meds, it said, a nation can be judged by how it treats its veterans.
Wow.
And here I was watching how they were treating these guys. And I said, you know what? I got 7,000 orthodontists in 99 countries, at least in the United States, at least a few thousand. If I'm in this position where I can just put out there, I need an orthodontist in North Bend, I need an orthodontist in Coral Gables, I need an orthodontist and connect them, then I can do this. And lo and behold, we've only been doing it for about a year and a half now. We already have dozens of veterans in treatment, and we're looking at 2026 to hopefully up that number tremendously, thanks to incredible support and donors just like you, JW. You guys, you have been amazing. You've been a godsend, and I can't say thank you enough to you, because everybody knows the hardest thing about any charity is raising funds. Because we need to advertise to veterans. All I have is one employee, a director, who I can't even bring on full time yet because we don't have the funds. And I'm going to give a shameless plug here if anybody wants to help, JW. It's embracingourwarriors.org. If anybody wants
Absolutely.
to
Great
donate money now,
organization.
it's a new year, 2026 is a great time to donate. And trust me, you will be helping a veteran get a smile. And oh, by the way, the happy ending of this, I don't know if I can get this, but hold on. If anybody's watching this, the happy ending of all of this is that Daryl got treated, got married, started a job at a college doing high-tech welding, because he wants young men and women to be able to go into the really high-end defense contractor kind of welding stuff. And he brought me this helmet, which a welder's helmet, which is signed by all of the students in his college class that he teaches. And he said, if
Wow.
it wasn't for his smile, he never would have been able to have the comment. He said he never could have dreamt he could have done this. And this, my friend, this is why I do what I do. Not for the gift, but because we got a guy whose life is thoroughly changed that we had the ability to do that with. And so I just wanted to show that real quick.
Well, I think the big piece of that too, that a lot of people don't realize is whether it's whether it's cosmetic dentistry, implants, and obviously orthodontics, that there's people out there that it just changes their lives. It changes their smile. It
Absolutely.
changes their whole self-worth, their confidence, the ability to meet their spouse, the ability to get a job. And literally, it truly is that big of a life-changing experience. So I love that you're
It is.
doing this with Warriors. I know we've committed to helping you for 3 years. We've done our first year. We're excited about the year ahead, and you're right. It's about how much it all comes down to impact. How much impact can you really make, right? It's great to
Right.
get the name up there. It's great to have a slogan. It's great to raise money. But what you want to see is those hundreds of smiles that you impact and really
Yeah.
make a difference. So, yeah,
Well,
great
thousands. I'd love to see
organization.
it get to be. I'd love to see thousands. Right.
Yeah.
Like I just know. No veteran who put their life, I mean, this is, I'm going to do my best, JW, not to cry. I swear, I'm going to try.
I
All right. I wear my emotions on my sleeve, but nobody who ever answered the call and went to defend the rights that we live every single day should have to suffer physically or emotionally if we can avoid it. Period.
agree.
It's
I
not just
totally
about
agree.
smiles. They protected us. And I think if we're in a position to protect them, we should.
Well, and you got to start somewhere. Like you say, you have to start somewhere. I think one of
Yeah.
those I don't want to get too much off of my soapbox, but another one of mine is, I think too, there's the young people. I tell my kids this the other day. They're 30 and 28. I said, y'all have never really experienced any type of war, any type of firsthand account of hand-to-hand combat, if you will, where my father was in Vietnam. I know your father served, and so you understand what that went through. But those are the real heroes that we have to really lift up and bring. And if we can help with things like embracing our warriors, then well done is what I'll say about
Well, thank
that.
you for your
So,
support, JW. I
oh,
really,
absolutely,
it makes all the difference. It really does. And I just say, I can't thank you enough.
yeah. Well, we're excited about it. Excited about the next couple of years, how we can help that grow and hopefully spread that word. We'll have to get on that. That's a whole nother podcast. We'll do another one
Another
on the embracing
podcast.
our warriors. Hey, imagine that summit where you bring in all of those that have got a new smile and you bring them together and talk about the impact. Now we can get our napkins out and our hankies, because we'll all be crying in something like that as well,
And
because
how
that's
about we bring them all together with corporate sponsors there, where maybe, just maybe, there's an opportunity to elevate what they're doing for a living?
oh,
Because every one of these
100%.
people has had some sort of financial, they have to meet a financial threshold. Because I didn't think it was fair that a veteran making $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 a year should get free treatment when he's sitting
No,
in the reception
agreed.
area next to a single mom. So every one of these people is hurting financially as well. And the hope is that if maybe we can fix the smile, maybe there's other corporate avenues we can help them with, right?
Getting a job is a big little sideline. We started a program over in Zimbabwe where it was called Fresh Start, where we are giving people who come out of prison a little lift. It's a we give them a ZimWorks backpack. In there is going to be a pair of underwear, socks, some new clothes, a little bit of money, some deodorant, because they walk out of there with nothing but their, whatever prison uniform they had on. And I just recently, this last month, I went, Glenn, I told my team, I was like, we got to get them a job too, right? We need to figure out how to get them a job to do something, because that can of deodorant in that backpack's not going to last very long. So yeah, I think you're right. It's then how do you make the change long term?
Yeah.
Well, Glenn,
Kudos to you.
Thank you. I know, I think the one reason you and I have an affinity for a friendship is because we both share very similar values. Thinking about that, I didn't even know, I didn't remember your father being in the military. Mine was. So grew up in a military family, and being poor. I mean, I just grew up dirt poor, and so we learned how to get through that, and now we're very passionate about our faith, as well as how we can help people. So, well, I've not prepped Glenn for these, so he gets
Uh-oh.
my four questions.
Uh-oh, I'm
So I hope
sorry.
you're ready.
I apologize in advance, folks.
What in life has been your biggest win?
Marrying my wife. I married so far above my, they always say you're punching outside your weight class. I married so, here's the trick, JW. All of us married way above, right? All of us. And women haven't figured it out yet. So please don't post this. This is
Hey, listen,
gonna
I'm going to even
Women have not
speak.
figured out yet that we're the ones who are really lucky to have met them.
I'm going to speak a little quieter because my wife is not far away. After 31 years, my wife still hasn't figured that out. So let's just don't tell her.
I know you and I share the same, and we're also both married 31 years.
I know we're in the we're, I'm telling you, we're just in that same boat. All right, here's the second one. Biggest failure.
Biggest failure.
Could be anything.
Yeah, I'm thinking. There's a lot. I wouldn't call it a failure, but
Or your biggest failing forward moment.
well, yeah, getting rejected from 55 orthodontic schools, right? There's
Wow.
only about 60 in the United States, and I spent a whole summer applying to 55 of them, and didn't get. I got three interviews and didn't get into any of them, and so it inspired me to apply one more time and look outside of the educational world when I wanted to impact orthodontists. So instead of going back and teaching at a school, which I felt inherently has some biases, let's go to a place that's neutral and can help anybody.
You know what I believe? You should never waste a failure, ever. You should never waste one. You got to learn what happened, and then you obviously overcame that as well. I'm going to skip the next one because you just tied that in. So here's the last one. There's a formal dinner party for three people. You get to come to a formal dinner party, and you get to invite three people, dead or alive. Who's at your table?
Oh my gosh, I get three people at my table.
Dead or alive, can be
Well,
as wide as you want.
first one would be King David.
Oh, yeah.
I
Okay.
mean, his life, I just gotta, that'd be a fun one. I want to hear about David and Goliath. I got to hear that story firsthand,
I want to hear about
right?
that one. I want to hear about Bathsheba. I want to hear about all of those and just
There's a
like,
lot.
what
And
were you
so I'm going to give
thinking?
that, I'll go that one. I'm going to try to keep it from different eras. So there's a lot of other biblical figures I'll keep out of this one. I would love Abraham Lincoln. I think that'd be really fun to have. And I don't know, let's mix it up a little bit and get like Prince Vlad the Impaler. Like that would be, actually, you know what? I'm gonna go and say Genghis Khan. If he can
Okay.
Can he speak English? Like,
Yeah,
or am I
you
going to
gotta
have a
have
guy
him a
grunting and
translator.
beating me at a
Yeah.
table? If he could speak English, can you imagine about a man whose foresight was to oversee what, like a third of the planet at one point? Like, so I know these are Abraham Lincoln's probably been chosen a million times, but I don't know. I think
No,
that'd be Genghis Khan, King David, and Abraham Lincoln. It's the beginning of a good joke.
I that 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 those are really those are maybe the three best ones I've seen. Mine was Ronald Reagan, Winston Churchill, and my dad. I thought, get those three at a table and see what that looked like.
You know, if I put my dad, who I love to death, he's my best friend. If I got my dad at that table, I don't know if Genghis Khan, Moses, or Dave, King David, whoever it was, would
Would get a
actually
word
be able to
in.
get a lot of words. And my dad would tell him all our family stories until, you know, Abraham
Yeah.
Lincoln
Hey, David,
escaped from Rome.
hold that thought on Goliath. I got a better one.
I got, oh, wait till you hear about what my son did when he was 11.
You just don't worry about that. We know your story. We read it in the Bible already. Let me tell you this one.
But I like you. Who are your three? Winston Churchill, your father, and who is the third?
And Ronald Reagan.
That's solid, man. That's a
That was
real.
my three when I first came up with it.
My question that goes back to you, that it might even be corollary, is what are you serving him for dinner?
Cool. Wow. That's
You got those three at dinner. You got Winston Churchill, your dad, and Ronald Reagan. Are we buying a pizza and just chewing it over pizza and beer and wings? Or are we serving them Chateaubriand? Like, what are we giving them? I'm curious.
Well,
Because for me, it's Texas barbecue.
I'm thinking for my dad, he would have gone with a steak or barbecue, but I'm thinking to open up, there probably would have been scotch or bourbon or something, especially with Winston there. I mean, that's what would have had to start the day off.
Fair enough. I just figured I had to ask. Barbecue for me is good because King David loved a good barbecue. Right, and Genghis Khan barbecued everything, and I mean, come on, Abraham Lincoln will eat anything.
And you know what? Abraham Lincoln's a good one because I literally love his story. Talk about a guy who failed numerous times. You know,
Oh
he
yeah.
over and over and over overcame that. So, well, Glenn, this was more than fun. I call this do hard stuff because just thinking about what you did at a moment in your life that a wife could have looked at you and said, "Are you crazy? What are you
Yeah.
doing, thinking about?" But being able to do it, but then not being able to get in is even bigger, right? So I'm sure those were fun financial moments as well as you were without income for a period of time.
Oh yes. Oh yeah. We were with we so for anybody out there who's ever worried about their money always works itself out somehow, some way. We were without an income for legitimately 48 months, 4 years.
Wow.
Went through my entire savings. I didn't throw that in there. Went through every penny of my savings and probably 90% of my retirement account.
Jeez.
Came out at age 47 with two kids who had special needs, a third child neurotypical, and started over and said, I don't even have the slightest concern. So my word out there is everybody believe in the one thing you can always believe in, which is yourself.
Yeah, I believe
Hard
that. And
work and diligence will take you everywhere you need to be.
I just had this conversation with my 30-year-old son who's kind of doing something I'm not sure he's passionate about. And I just said, you got to find that passion. And it's the reason you've been successful. It's the reason, I've been able to find a path is because you really become passionate about what you're doing. So when you're in the middle of that, things get hard, but you really enjoy what you're doing, just stay the course. It'll work out, guaranteed. Glenn,
Yeah, and
thank
there's.
you. As always, amazing to see you as well.
Thank you so much, JW. Thank you for being in my life and being a friend and for all the good you're doing in this world.
You bet. Thanks, Glenn.